Would you join me one more time in standing as we stand in honor of God's Word this morning? This morning, the message is coming from John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 5. And so we join together reading these words which form the foundation for the message this morning. Join me as we read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Join me as we pray. Father, we are grateful for your word, and we stand, Father, this morning, eager and anticipating, Lord, the message to come. Bless it, Father. Bless Dr. Cooley as he opens your word and brings your word to our hearts. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
It is evening in Jerusalem. Passover has begun. All around the city, people are gathering together to celebrate that time when God rescued his people from Egypt. It's a commemoration that they do every year because they never want to forget what God has done for them. Among the crowd gathered that evening is Jesus and his disciples. You remember that story. They've reserved an upper room. And they've gathered around there and they have shared the Passover meal, roasted lamb, bitter herbs, all of the traditional ingredients of a Passover meal. But when it was done, Jesus did something really incredible. He took some bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, it's broken for you." He took the cup and he passed it and he said, "This is my blood spilled for you." Because Jesus understood what they were only beginning to realize. This was the last evening. For 3 years, these men had followed him all across Judea. They had heard the things he taught. They had watched the miracles he performed. More than that, there had been those conversations along the road as he talked to them about the kingdom of God, about what it meant to be changed, about what the Lord was up to and how the Messiah had come. And now it was the last evening. And Jesus took some time and he began to talk to his men in a way he'd never talked to them before. It was very open, very vulnerable, very personal. John never forgot anything about what Jesus said because the Holy Spirit helped him. And if you read his gospel, you'll find that John 13 through 17 is nothing but the conversations and prayers that took place in the upper room. And right in the middle of it, in the 15th chapter, Jesus begins to talk and he says to them, "I am the true vine." I have a feeling that maybe he picked up a cluster of grapes and he held it in front of himself and he began to look at it and talk to them about what it meant to be the true vine. It's the most personal conversation you could possibly imagine. He was talking to them about what it means to really be a disciple, not a believer, a disciple of Jesus. And as he talked about being the true vine, I think of all of the ways he's described himself this summer. As we've been looking at all the different ways Jesus said, "I am the door, I am the resurrection." This is the personal one. It seems so real and so rich. And he began to talk to them about, you know, if you're going to follow me, this is what it means. This is what I have done for you. This is what I'm about to do for you. I wish we had time to really dive deep into this passage because it is so full of truth. I would encourage you, go home and read John 15 and hear what he's saying to those disciples. But more than that, he's saying it to you and he's saying it to me. But for this morning's sake, I just want to talk about what Jesus wanted us to know about himself, because these days, as things have been changing, these days, as school is about to start, these days, as we continue to deal with different issues and challenges and struggles in our life, we need to hear a personal word from the Lord as he says, I am the true vine. I am there for you. And I want you to hear what that means about the promises Jesus has made for you. So let's jump in. Let's find out what God is saying. The first thing you see is this. Jesus is our source. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he says, and you are the branches. What did he mean by that? His disciples were so familiar with the ways of a vineyard. I would be willing to bet that none of these men ever went through a day in their life when somewhere, somehow, they didn't catch sight of a vineyard of some kind. It might be a cultivated vineyard that stretched over the hills. It might be a small garden that was beside someone's house. My guess is most of them probably had some sort of vineyard of their own, some sort of baby vineyard that they grew. I would imagine that people in Jerusalem grew their vines, their grapes, the way people in Alabama grow their maters. You know, you always feel like I got to have a little bit somewhere because I want to prove I'm the real thing. Except I didn't grow any maters this year. So I'm not sure what. That has nothing to do with this. They all knew what it was like to be around the vine. Every one of them knew this. And it all begins with the vine. Without a vine, no branches. Without branches, no fruit. Without fruit, no vineyard. Everything begins with the vine. It has to start at the source. And I tell you this morning, everything begins with Jesus. Jesus is our source. He is the one we turn to and the one we depend upon and the one we draw our life from. Apart from Jesus, there is nothing else. He is the source of life itself. Remember what John 1:3 said about Jesus? All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did you hear that? Without him, nothing was made that was made. You know, we tend to think about God as the creator, but we think about God as the creator in big cosmic terms. We think about God as the creator of this whole planet. We think of God as the creator, the one who made our sun and our solar system. We think of God as the creator, and we think of God of the vast cosmos. And all of those things are true. But here's the thing that really matters, and he is your creator. Without him, nothing was made that was made, and that includes you individually. You are a creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we want to have that macro vision, we also need to remember the micro vision of what it means to say, I am a creation of God. Listen to this. This is pretty amazing stuff. So according to one estimate, there are 37 quadrillion chemical reactions happening in the human body at any given time. Not over the course of a day, not over the course of a week, right now, this instant, 37 quadrillion things are happening in your body. You know how much a quadrillion is? I don't either, but it's a bunch. You're digesting food, regenerating cells, purifying toxins, catalyzing enzymes, producing hormones, and converting stored energy from fat to blood sugar. All the time. Not only that, there are 5 quarts of blood traveling through your body every day through 100,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries. 550 liters of pure oxygen are inhaled every day through 23,000 breaths that you take. And here's the thing. And without Jesus, it all stops. Now, you may even be here today and you're saying, but I don't even believe in Jesus. Doesn't matter. He's the one. He's the source. Without him, nothing was made that was made. You know, we talk about depending upon the Lord for our lives, but we actually really do. He is the very reason you're able to draw a breath today. And that's just the beginning. That's just the easy stuff. Jesus is the source of our life. Here's the hard stuff, and he is the source of our eternal life. He has done everything necessary so that you can live forever. The disciples understood what Jesus was talking about when he described himself as the vine, because the Bible used that image of the vine all the time as a symbol of God's life. It was used to refer to God's chosen people. It had been used to talk about Scripture itself. When God revealed himself, he revealed himself through the image of a vine often. Because the vine was the thing people turned to and depended upon to make their lives right with God. When the Bible talks about the vine, it's talking about the fact that this is what you do if you're going to make your life what it ought to be with the Lord. You've got to connect yourself to the vine. You've got to keep yourself connected to the vine. You've got to draw your life from the vine. You've got to find your strength in the vine. And then Jesus comes along, and there in the upper room, he says, you know that thing, that vine, that's that symbol of God's redeeming, renewing, restoring, eternal power? It's me. I am the true vine. I'm the source of eternal life. I don't tell about eternal life. I don't point toward eternal life. I am eternal life. It comes from me. Today, whenever you attempt to live your life without Jesus, you recognize you're cut off from the vine. Anyone who's here today and you're thinking, I'm fine all by myself, I can handle this on my own, no, you can't. Anybody who's here today and they're thinking, as long as I keep Jesus on the periphery of my life and I keep the middle part, the center part, right there on the focus on myself, I'm going to be okay. No, you won't. Here's the thing. You're cut off from the vine, who is the source. That means you will never prosper in things that really matter. If you're cut off from Jesus, then your chance of prospering is almost completely gone. Now, you may be sitting here today and you're saying, wait a minute. I know a lot of people who have done really, really well, and they don't think about God twice in a day. He never crosses their mind, and yet they have an abundance of money. They've been very successful in business. They've acquired things that nobody else has. Don't tell me that you've got to have Jesus or you're not going to prosper, because I know too many prosperous things. And this is what I would say to you. And yes, they just don't prosper in the things that matter. Because let me tell you something, that kind of stuff, it comes and it goes. I love what somebody said once about anything you can hold in your hand, whether you're talking about money or whether you're talking about jewels or whether you're talking about a precious possession. And this is what they said. One of two things is always going to happen with anything you can hold in your hand. Either it's going to leave you or you're going to leave it, but you're not going to get to hold on to it forever. And if you can't hold on to it forever, then that means you can't prosper in the things that matter. Because that only comes from the eternal life that's given to you by Jesus himself. Before long, apart from Christ, Jesus says you wither and you're gone. You simply are not designed to live apart from Christ. It all begins with Jesus. But not only is he our source, Jesus is also our strength. One of the qualities of a vine is it's designed to pass on strength in the branches. The vine draws water and nutrients through its roots. It passes it on through the branches, and that allows them to thrive and to bear fruit. In the same way, everything we need flows from Jesus. There are two spiritual truths you need to understand. If you don't hear anything else today, hear these two things, okay? The first one is this. You cannot get it from any other place. You cannot get spiritual nourishment anywhere except from Jesus. We are designed to be constantly dependent upon the true vine. God has not designed any one of us to reach a point where we can stand on our own. You know, the truth is, that may be my greatest disappointment as a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, years ago, when I first began this journey of being a disciple of Jesus, I thought something would happen. I thought I would grow, I would understand the Word better, I would follow Him more, I would serve Him more, and the day would come when someday I would reach a point of spiritual maturity where I was going to be pretty spiritually independent, where temptations would not bother me anymore, where discouragement would never call my name, where I never had any kind of opportunity to struggle because I was going to be Mr. Super Christian. And I was sure that day was coming, but it never happened. And then I discovered the real truth, and the real truth is it never happened because we're not designed that way. Not one of us is designed to be able to make it on our own apart from the Lord. Not even when we're trying to represent Him. We can't do it without Him. One of the things I've discovered is my ability to resist temptation depends on how close I've been to God today. My ability to follow Him depends on how much I've been committed to Him today. My ability to worship Him depends on whether I have spent time in His Word today. Today is the day that matters. It's true in all of our lives because He is our strength. God never made us to be strong. He made us to be dependent. And one of the marks of real spiritual maturity is not the ability to stand, but the ability to understand how much you need the Lord. And I hope this morning you realize He is the only source of spiritual strength. Then the second thing you need to know is this, and you need Him all the time. We're not meant to be the way often we're taught. You know, a lot of times I've been taught that the whole secret of the Christian life is that your life is kind of like a pitcher. You know, and you pour in the water and you fill it up, and once the pitcher is full, then it begins to spread out and share it with others, and your job is to fill up your pitcher so that you can pour it out in other people's lives. And I've discovered that's not it. I think the Christian life is designed not to be a pitcher, but to use an old Southern word, you're designed to be a hose pipe. A hose pipe. How many of y'all use that word? How many of you wouldn't say it in 1,000 years? Go ahead, raise your hand, Judith. Raise it high. Judith hates that word. But that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't accumulate, we don't reservoir the presence of the Lord in our lives. Instead, we let Him flow through us, constantly flow through us, so that He is in us and through us and from us, touching the lives of other people all the time. And you don't hang on to any of it. You just let it flow into the lives of the people around you because Jesus is our strength. And then the Bible says this, and Jesus is our stability. Another purpose of the vine is to provide stability for the branches. The vine provides a strong foundation upon which the branches can thrive. When the storms blow, when the drought comes, when things are hard, it is the vine that holds on to the branches and keeps them strong. In the same way, Jesus is the stability of our lives. You know, God never promised you troubles wouldn't come. He never said you won't deal with temptation. He never said doubts will not arise. All of those things are going to happen over the course of your lifetime. What he did say is this, and you can trust me no matter what. I will always be there for you. No branch on the vineyard ever wakes up in the morning and says, I wonder if the vine will be there for me today. The branch knows the vine is there. And whatever may happen around me, the vine is there. And whatever may happen within me, the vine is there. And I may have to worry about a lot of other things in my life, but I don't have to worry about the vine. He is there. In an unstable world, he is the one thing you can count on. He is there. You know, we've all learned a lot of things over the past 4 or 5 months as we've gone through this COVID pandemic, a lot of things that we're looking forward to forgetting about. I look forward to the day when I'm going to say to somebody, you remember when we used to have pews roped off in our sanctuary, and they're going to look back at me and go, no, I don't remember that. It's going to be a great day, isn't it? It's going to be a great day. But you know, one of the things that I don't ever want to forget about this is that I don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And neither do you. You know, a while ago, Dr. Hutchins is leading us in a prayer for our educators, for our students, for our new school year. And everybody's made their plans and everybody's put them in place and everybody's counting on things working, but we're also understanding this. But they're not going to work out the way we thought they would at the beginning. There are going to be adjustments taking place all the time. People having to say, well, that worked, but that didn't. We found out we can do this, but we might not need to do that. Because you don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. But you know who does? The Lord Jesus. So far through this whole thing, nothing has happened that surprised him. Not one thing. Nothing has happened in your life that he's not going to take and use in some way. Now, I'm not saying this came from him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that he's brought about things that you're struggling with. But I am saying this, he won't waste it. And while it's going on, you just keep looking back at the vine because he is strong enough to hold you in place. You can count on him to tell you the truth. You can count on him to forgive your sins. You can count on him to give you the ability to stand. You can count on him to always be there when you need him. Most of all, you can count on him to hold on tight where you're concerned. He is not going to let you go. That's why he's our stability. And finally, Jesus is our salvation. Only the vine has the ability to give life to the branches. You can't find it anywhere else. You can turn in any direction you choose and say, maybe the life will come from there. It will not. It only comes from the vine. Apart from the vine, there is only death. We don't talk about that a lot. But maybe we should. Apart from the vine, there is only death. You're here today, you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never trusted him as your Lord and your Savior. I want to tell you something. You're dead, spiritually dead. Oh, no, because I've got other places I turn. I've got other faiths I believe. I've got other things that I'm hanging on to that I just think are going to be. I don't care. Because life only comes from one place. It comes from the vine, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from him, only death. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is this. But there's always room for somebody else on the vine. You will never turn to Christ and say, I want to trust you. I'm ready to receive you. I want to follow you. And have him say to you, I'm sorry, vine is full. Got all I need. No room for you. There's always room for one more on the vine. So what matters the most? What matters the most is that you trust him before you die in this world. Because if you waste your life and you face eternity apart from Christ, there's only death. But if today you hear him call, and you reach out and say, I'm ready to trust you. There's only life. Only life comes from Jesus. And he wants you. He wants you really bad. All you got to do is trust him. Just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, but you know you should, and today you want to trust him, as we stand and sing, I just want to invite you to slip your hand up right where you stand and say, that's me. I want to trust him. And when the service is over, I'm going to look for you outside and I want to talk to you. One of our members of our staff will talk to you and help you invite Jesus to be your Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, part of what it means for me to be a branch of the vine is that he's planting me right here at First Baptist. I want to be part of what God's doing here. Or maybe as a believer, you're saying, you know what? I've allowed myself to depend on other things a lot more than I have the Lord. Today I'm ready to renew my commitment. Jesus before anything. He is the vine. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand. Let's sing. God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time together. And I'm really glad we see a number of Sanford students here today. They've come back to start class again, and we're just glad you were here with us today. And I just want to make sure, if you don't know, this is Dr. Joe Hopkins. He's the dean of the School of Fine Arts. And if you find yourself back on campus and you don't have lunch money, Come and see Joe, and he will send you right down here to the church, and we'll take care of you. I would love to say I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight for our revival service, but I can't say that. I can say I look forward to joining you tonight as we get together online and virtually share a really good season of revival. Let's bow together. Let's pray. And then after that, our final song. Father, we do thank you that you're the true vine. Thank you that we can depend upon you. And Father, you're always there for us. And Father, if everything else in the world lets us down, you're steady and you're strong. And you give us life. And you give us eternity. Thank you, Father, for the true vine, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, I'm the glory. Revive us again.
We are grateful for the Lord, to the Lord, for your being here today. As we make our way out, please, let's start in the very back. Keeping a distance, make your way through the lobby and out to the outside area where we can visit together. God bless you as you go.